Welcome to the wonderful podcast. My name is Jeff Goki, and I am the executive director of Phoenix One, which cares for the local church both internally and externally. And this is our podcast, the podcast that helps you understand a little bit about who we are and what we're doing, and invite you into a greater story of what God's doing in the local church here in Phoenix. And really, honestly, the learnings that we are gathering, not just here in Phoenix, but around the country. And so I really believe as we go through these episodes that we'll learn and we'll grow together to have a greater vision of Jesus and the local church. That's the hope. The hope is, as we talk about unity, unity is not just something that we do kumbaya. You know, it's just not like let's all just unify around just a bunch of random things. We're like, no. Let's unify around Jesus. And so the goal of the podcast really is how do we unify around Jesus? And what does that look like? How does that impact the way that we live our lives day in and day out? What does that look like on a local church level? What does that look like on an individual level, a leadership level? All these different things we feel like God's asked us to do, to go after. But this first episode, what I thought would be really, really helpful is for you to get a little bit of the picture of who I am and how this got started. What'll happen over the next few episodes is we'll start telling you the story of Phoenix One on the whole. I'll start inviting some other people who were a part of getting it started and the greater vision of what we feel like God's invited us into in this season. We're really excited to be able to move forward in what God's called us to do, but there's a lot of people with questions. And not that we have all the answers, but sometimes when you tell the story, it brings context. Always, it brings context to why you're doing what you're doing. And so really, this podcast is to provide some of that context. And hopefully, as we move forward in the future, it'll be with interviews with pastors and leaders who are trying to figure out what it is to live out Jesus's high priestly prayer in John 17:23, that we would be one, so the world would know the love of Christ. But a part of my story that I think will be really helpful is I grew up in the church my whole life. I've always loved the local church. Grew up in a town called Massillon, Ohio. And I went to the same local church for most of my life when I was 12 years old. My mom and my dad, they were both leaders in the church, and it was a pretty tight-knit community. My mom left my dad and left our family and moved down to South Carolina. We were in Ohio. And it was a really painful time in my life, but the community that was around me, the local church that was around me, really, really did care for us. And so I never had that, like, I was angry at God or, God, how could you do this? Even though I was hurting, I was really cared by people that were around me. And so did that, and then my dad got remarried, and my senior year decided that I would go to Moody Bible Institute. Went to Moody Bible Institute. I was there that I met my wife of 23 years. We've been together for probably 26 years or 25 years, 26 years, somewhere in there. And we've been married coming up on 23 years, which is pretty cool. But I met her at Moody Bible Institute my freshman year. And I went to school to get a youth ministry degree. And when I graduated with a degree in one hand and a baby in the other hand, because I had gotten married my junior year of college. And then took my first ministry job up just north of Chicago in a town called Gurnee in a Swedish Baptist church, Emmanuel Baptist Church. Shout out to Emmanuel Baptist Church. It's still there in Gurnee. I think it's called Emmanuel Church, not Emmanuel Baptist Church. So did youth ministry there, junior high youth ministry for like 4 or 5 years, and then just really felt called to reach this generation that a lot of people were talking about. At this time, it was like Gen X that was kind of leaving the church. And so a lot of this initial study that's coming out in Barna is starting to come out during this period of time. So this would have been like the mid-2000s, 2005, 2006. But that research had come out in the early 2000s as well. So it just, you know, my heart was like, man, how do we do something? I want to do something. I don't want to just sit back and go like, well, I hope it works out. No, man, I wanted to be proactively a part of solving a problem that it seemed like it was really heavy and really hard for a lot of people. So moved my family down to Phoenix, Arizona. And when we moved down to Phoenix, I was going to help a guy start a church that was going to reach ASU kind of for Jesus. The hope was, to how do we engage this age group? And as I did that, they couldn't pay me a salary. And so I worked construction. So I was a foreman for a dry utilities company in Casa Grande. And I felt like, what is happening? You know, I'd been a pastor and I had lived kind of this blue collar life back in Chicago. I'd been a part of building houses and things like this. But this was like in the desert, screaming hot, so hot, and helping put sewer lines in for residential houses that were going to go in, and just going, God, I don't think this is what you had for me. And so ended up getting hired at a large church in Chandler and had an awesome opportunity there to grow and learn and develop my leadership. The senior pastor there gave me an opportunity to speak. He said, hey, listen, I think you've got this gift and we want you to speak. And so I got the opportunity to speak in front of thousands of people on weekends, and that helped kind of grow this thing inside of me. But I feel like this looming vision that has always been a part of my heart kind of got complicated as a result of just kind of putting my head down and just doing ministry at a local church. And so ended up going over to India for the very first time. This would have been about 12 years ago. Went over to India and led a pastor's conference for 700 Indian pastors and honestly got wrecked. I just got really, really wrecked. And came back and thought, man, I think my life has to change and is changing. My heart has changed. I feel like I met Jesus again, all over again, and got a really huge vision to reach people for Jesus. Really wanted to do that. So ended up resigning from that church and starting Phoenix One. And the story, the early parts of Phoenix One, and you'll hear more about this in the upcoming episodes, where what for me, I went away on a silence retreat to just go, God, I need to hear from you, because I was candidating at all these churches to become a pastor at those churches. But then I had this other opportunity to start Phoenix One here in the Valley. Nothing like that had really existed, and just felt like, man, maybe that's what I'm supposed to do. I don't know. So I went away, went to Sedona, and I went up on top of this mountain cliff. And on top of that mountain cliff, I started reading through Ecclesiastes. And I came to Ecclesiastes 7:13, and it said, watch the way that God works and fall in line. Don't fight the ways of God, for who can make straight what God has made crooked? And it was during that period of time, I still have the journals, where I realized that vision that God had given me all the way back in Gurnee, Illinois, was just as relevant today. That there was still a huge need for the generation to be reached and cared for and reconnected back into the local church. So I came back from that retreat saying, okay, let's do it. Let's start Phoenix One. And I remember those early years like starting, and you'll hear more and more about the story of that. Like, people just thought it was this craziest thing ever. Like, why would you do that? That doesn't make any sense. Like, I always joke that I started an ecumenical ministry, which basically ecumenism is the way the local church kind of comes together as one. It's kind of the fulfillment. But a part of it is there's kind of this really gnarly history with ecumenism in the past. Like, it was kind of like more kumbaya, or all paths lead to heaven. And that's not what I felt invited into. But I didn't know what ecumenism was. I just knew I had a passion for John 17 and wanted to see that happen. And so I always say I started in an ecumenical ministry without really knowing what ecumenism was. So decided to start Phoenix One and move forward. And God brought a dear friend of mine, he's still a dear friend of mine, Dr. John Armstrong, and he had written a book called Your Church is Too Small. And the whole book was this idea that the mission of God to have us become one so that people will come to know Jesus, that is the mission of God. That is what it is to be one. When we're one, people will know the love of Jesus. And that like blew my mind. Like, that idea blew my mind. And then the idea of unity as mission, it just started to just like rock my world in a huge, huge way. And so we went after it. And the two ways that we decided to go after it was, hey, we're going to have a gathering. And we decided we didn't want to do a gathering every single week. And a part of it is there's local churches who do that. We were doing everything we can to be, to the best of our ability, a really faithful parachurch. And if you don't know what parachurch is essentially an organization that comes alongside to help the local church. Think Young Life, Campus Crusade for Christ, different ministries like that. We really, to the best of our ability, didn't want to be in conflict at all with the local church. We just wanted to be like, hey, we're just here to help you. So much to the point that we would have these gatherings on Tuesday nights because we believed, hey, That was the best night that stuff at church wasn't going on. Secondarily, we would tell people, listen, don't give to Phoenix One because we're a nonprofit. I need to pay the bills. But we want you to give to your local church first and then out of the overflow, give to Phoenix One. So that's how committed we were to making sure that we were a true parachurch ministry. And so we went after that. So we did these huge gatherings. And they started off small and then they grew to right around 800 to 1,000 people would show up every Tuesday night, every other Tuesday night. And from at our largest, 233 different churches from around the valley. And it was so beautiful. It was like a vision of heaven watching these churches come together cross-denominationally in all these different denominations, all these different backgrounds, worshiping together, growing together, building relationships with one another. It just was, there are many days I'd be sitting in the back of the room just weeping because I couldn't believe this was actually happening. It was that beautiful. It was that powerful. And it felt like, wow, this is so holy. This is such a gift. But the other thing that we would do is that we would meet with pastors individually. That was a huge part of our rhythm, is that we would meet with senior pastors and pastors of our staff and just go, hey, what's going on? How can we help? How can we network you? And our goal was to get denominations who didn't normally associate to talk to one another. And so we did that in a lot of cool ways. We had some friends at the Diamondbacks, Arizona Diamondbacks, who would give us a suite and we'd get them all together. We had tickets to the Suns, season tickets to the Suns. And so we'd get pastors together. We would do luncheons together, all these different ways to get churches to like meet one another instead of saying, I don't know that guy and I don't trust him, instead of going, I know that guy. Like, I know that, you know, maybe our theology isn't all the same, but I know he's a Christian and I know he affirms that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the light, that no man comes unto the Father except through me. Like, they would affirm that. And so how do we get those churches together to know one another? And at the end of the day, our goal, our deep desire, our deep goal is that they would connect with one another and connect young adults, young professionals, millennials back into their local churches through relationship. That's what we wanted. It had to be relational. The ministry from the very beginning has always been about relationship. The important, one of the important things that I'd like to bring out is going a year after Phoenix One started, my son got diagnosed with leukemia. He was 8 years old. He's healed today, and we're grateful. But the ministry started, and it was like this overwhelming, like, what is happening? What's going on? But what was so cool is that Mike Bahati, who is a staff member with Phoenix One and is a staff member today, he rallied volunteers, and they ran those gatherings when I wasn't able to have the strength to be able to do the things that I normally would do. They just stepped in, and they led that thing, and they're really the real story behind Phoenix One, is that there was a crew of people that loved and sacrificed for Phoenix One because they wanted to see Jesus' high priestly prayer come to fruition. It was really beautiful, but there was a problem. And the problem was this, is that we feel like we were serving millennials and serving young professionals to the best of our ability and doing everything we were saying is like, hey, we're not the local church. You've got to get in. You've got to serve the local church. But they were struggling with that. And we were working really hard alongside of local churches saying, listen, these people, they need you, but they need you. They don't need a program. They need you. They want relationship. They want you to know them. They want you to mentor them. They want you to counsel them. Like, get your men's and women's ministry, like, leaders, like, just have them go spend time with these people so they're not just some other person that's existing in the church. And I think the local church, I mean, had a lot going on, but they were really struggling through that as well. And so here we stand in the middle of the local church and this age group that we love so much. And we realized, I think we're the other woman, because what we found out was more and more people are coming to Phoenix One and not engaging in their local church and saying, I'll just let Phoenix One be my local church. And everything we designed, our mission, our vision, ran completely against that idea. And so we shut it down. Or what we're calling it a Holy Spirit-induced coma. And what that simply means is we just were okay to go away. We did our part. We served how we felt like God invited us to serve. And we were okay to go away, that we did what we felt we were supposed to do. in that season. And that was really, really hard for me and then for Mike. I mean, literally, Mike, we shut Phoenix One down. Mike got married the next month. And so it was just a really hard time. My family and I, we adopted our daughter during that time. I was on the job hunt. I ended up getting hired at a business that did events for Toyota and Land Rover. And so I did that for about 2.5 years and ended up back at a local church in California for almost 5 years. And then just recently came back. We came back because of all that's happened during COVID. And we'll tell you in some upcoming podcasts that decision, why we made that. Mike and I will walk through that together and give you a little bit more of the context of what that's all about. But the really what it was the division was so deep and the pain and the hurt that we were watching in local churches and staff members and pastors. We just wanted to step in. And so we started Phoenix One and we relaunched Phoenix One with the vision to really care and to connect and to unify. These have always been a part of our values, but we felt in this season that we felt like the Spirit of God invited us back to continue the work he had begun in us 10 years ago. And so we're excited. You know, we don't have everything figured out. We're not even exactly 100% sure what it is that God wants us to do. We think we have a vision of what he's inviting us into, but that's a part of why this podcast is really important, that you get to be a part of this journey with us as we learn. We're just learning and we're growing. And so we pray that this podcast could be an opportunity for us to do that together, to learn and grow together. So here's what I would say. Stick around. Lean in. Learn as we learn. In the next episode, I'm going to invite some friends who are going to help us dig in a little bit deeper on why we started Phoenix One in the first place. Why did we get this going? I just gave you a little glimpse in this podcast of why we got going, but they're going to dig in deep and help you understand why 10 years ago that the Lord planted this vision in our hearts to go start this ministry to the local church and to pastors and staff. And so we're going to talk through that. And so that's coming up here in the next couple weeks. But until then, this is what I would love. I would love you to remember this, that Jesus loves the local church, and you are that church. Jesus loves the local church, and you are that church. And together, we get to go on a journey about what it means to faithfully fulfill our calling as the local church. So thanks for sticking around. Really looking forward to what's coming, what we're going to learn, and what we're going to grow. And again, you can hit subscribe. You can like this. It always helps to get this out so that more and more people can figure it out what it is to embrace and live into Jesus' high priesthood prayer for the local church. Until next time, cheers.